Make no mistake, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the tests will come. And the more you fight the tests, the harder the storm winds will blow against you, because God's will be done. He will shape you into His Son, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Testing of a King, Part 1, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Today's sermon is The Testing of a King. This is going to be part one, The Testing of a King. Can we please stand in holy reverence to God's word as we read it? I'm reading out of the ESV today. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we pray, O Lord, that you will open our hearts to receive your word. I pray, God, that you will anoint me to speak your word, God, and not my own. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus was subject to all the same temptations we are. The difference is he could not be tempted as we all are. You see, the devil could come to Satan, and outwardly he could tempt him. But inwardly, there was no response. See, Jesus never had the sin nature in him to begin with. So there was no way Satan could ever reach him, because Jesus is pure. But outwardly, he was subject to all of the pains and afflictions that the human body is subject to. The Bible says he was hungry. He was hungry. You see, God was also human at that moment when he took on the form of Jesus. Amen? He was a human being too. And he was subject to pain, hunger, coldness, extreme heats, sorrow, all the things that we are subject to. His body was subject to those things. He was living flesh. Did he not bleed? Did he not die? But the Spirit of God was in him. That same Spirit is in every Christian. And through the Spirit we overcome. The body is weak, but the Spirit has the power through Christ to overcome anything that the body endures. Jesus died, but was resurrected. How many of you guys ever watched wrestling? You ever see him beat the guy down, and the guy falls on the ground, and then the guy that's winning stands up, and he's cheering on, like, "I got victory," and he's the evil guy, and everyone's booing him, "Boo, boo," and behind his back, the guy he just beat down gets back up and beats him. That's our Jesus. Satan's like, "Yes, the king is dead," but Jesus got out of that grave. My first point is, God leads, we follow. Everybody say it. That doesn't mean that you pray to God what you want in your life. It means you pray to God asking him what he wants in your life. That's how you follow God. When you start to become the one who leads God, you ain't leading no one. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Does it not say that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit. God will often lead us into situations of testing. It is our duty to follow him through it. How many of you guys in here know that God will sometimes bring you to a test? Well, God would never do that, some might say. But yes, he does. He did it to Jesus. And we are no greater than Jesus, are we? The Spirit let him in. Now, God does not tempt anyone. He does not tempt anyone. Nor is he tempted. But he will lead you into a testing. We follow God through times of testing in three ways. If you can remember these three things, you'll do a lot better in your time of testing, because everybody has tests in life. I don't care who you are, how careful you live, how secluded you become, you will be tested. So there's three things that we need to remember: seeking through prayer, guidance, wisdom in him. This is what we should seek. When you're going through a time of testing, you want to seek through prayer, guidance, wisdom, and him. You want to seek God through Jesus Christ. You see, people waste a lot of time when they're being tested. They just want out of it and they don't want to learn anything. If you don't learn anything from your testing, I promise you God's going to put you right back through it. Because you're going to lead yourself right back into it by not following him and following you. You lead yourself in to your own troubles when you don't follow God through the trouble you're currently in. Does that make sense? When you try to get yourself out of something that God puts you in, he don't want you out of it yet. You're going to stay in there longer, or you might break free only to find yourself back in it. That's why you see people making the same mistakes over and over in life. Didn't you learn that the first time? The second and the third? You keep doing the same thing. Oh, why won't you learn? Because they're not seeking God. They're not praying for guidance and wisdom, and they're not seeking him. We go to God and we say, Lord, I don't like where I'm at. Now, that's okay. You can say that to God. You don't have to like where you are. Nobody's saying you should like it. But here's the thing. You should ask God, can I get some guidance? Can you show me the way through this storm? I didn't say out of the storm. Show me through it. Because the storm is here. And the only way out is through. Because you're in it, right? And you ask God for wisdom. You don't want to make mistakes at this time. You don't want to make mistakes in a storm, because that's where Satan is waiting for you. He's waiting for you in the storm. He's waiting for Jesus, wasn't he? We'll get to that. And you want to seek him because ultimately God is trying to teach you something about himself in the storm. We learn more about Jesus in the storms than we ever do in the good times. In the good times, we forget about God. In the storms, he brings us to our knees and gets us praying. If the storm's hard enough, some people don't even pray then. But those are the three things that we should seek. The second thing that we should be doing is obedience through what? Godly counsel, daily Bible study, and Christian living. You see, when you remain obedient to God during the test, you're hearing from him, and that means that you're following him. That means that you're getting through the storm. But when you become disobedient in a storm, you're blowing yourself off course further and further. You're navigating around the problem instead of through the problem. God wants to get you through the storm, not around it, through it. Some people take matters in their own hand. They become disobedient. Well, I don't like what's going on. I don't like being broke. I think I'll steal. I don't like being broke. I think I'll deal. I don't like what my wife's doing, my husband's doing, my spouse is doing. I think I'll cheat too. That's not obedience. None of that's obedience. You want to be obedient. You want godly counsel. If I had a dollar every time somebody came up to me and said, what do you think God would want me to do? And I give them godly counsel and they turn around and do the exact opposite of what God would have you do and disobey the word of God, I'd be a rich pastor right now. Because people come to me all the time and they say, what should I do? Well, I don't like giving people advice, but there are some things that I can give to you that the Lord shares with me. But how many times have people listened to what I had to say, that God has spoken through me, and they don't go for it? They don't do it. Sometimes God will say, just sit still. But no, we can't do that. We're impatient. We want to do it our way. Sometimes God will say, well, you need to do this, but that doesn't make sense, and they don't do it. Daily Bible study. How do you know what God is even saying through a godly person if you yourself don't know the Bible? People who are Christians have been duped so many times because they don't know their Bible. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know when someone's speaking the Word of God or just making stuff up out of it. Man, I don't take anybody's word for it. Why do you think I stick Scripture up here for you guys? I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to believe in the Bible, not in James. That's why I back everything I say with the Scripture. You can see it on the screen, and you can check it in your own Bibles. And then Christian living. You don't just come to church and pretend to be a Christian. You live the Christian life. The Christian life is sacrificial. It means giving up things you like. It means dealing with people you don't like, doing things you don't like to do, being obedient to God even when it's not profitable. The third step is faith through Jesus Christ, knowing that He is with you and you can trust whatever He allows in your life. You see, tests are designed to get you to stand with God and not to be blown away with the storm. You can't prove to me that you're my friend until I need you to be my friend. You can say it to me all day long, but the moment I call on you and you answer, you've proved it to me because you stood with me in the hard times. It's easy to be somebody's friend when they got it going on. When you win the lottery, you'll find out you got a lot more friends and family members than you ever imagined you had. But what about when things aren't going good for you? Where are your friends then? Your true friends can be counted in the storms. Storms are meant to grow us closer to God, not to blow us away. So we need to know that Christ is with us and we can trust Him whatever comes your way. Just understand He's in control of it. Testing often comes to grow our faith and to refine our character. The reason why you're in the storm is because God has looked into your heart and found something that doesn't line up with His Son, Jesus Christ. How many of you know that we're being sanctified? We're set apart. How many of you guys know that we're sanctified? We're set apart. Well, to be set apart means you have to be different. You have to be holy, right? Well, you cannot live a Christian life if you don't have the character of Jesus Christ. So God will often bring a test into your life to grow a fruit. It could be patience, it could be joy, it could be long-suffering. Whatever the test is, it's designed to fix you, not God. God's not the one with the problem. The test is designed to fix you, to make you more Christ-like. The character that God is trying to build in the Christian is Christ-like character. Make no mistake. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the tests will come. The tests will come. And the more you fight the tests, the harder the storm winds will blow against you because God's will be done. He will shape you into His Son, Jesus Christ, sooner or later. And He's got more time than you do. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights in order for Him to go through what Israel had experienced in the wilderness throughout 40 years. Jesus accomplished in 40 days what Israel could not do in 40 years. See, God was bringing them through this desert to shape them, to give them character, and they resisted God. He kept them out there 40 years. Look, I don't know how old some of you guys are, but God has got a 40-year time limit for any one of you that want to challenge Him on growing your character. In other words, what I'm saying is, as long as it takes, God will keep bringing the test until you submit. You don't have any say-so. Once you've given your life over to Jesus, you were bought with a price. You're owned by God. You're His child, and He will discipline all those who He accepts as a son. So He's got all the time in the world. Jesus did it in 40 days. Where Israel failed, Jesus succeeded, proving Himself to be the Son of God. Praise God. Now we're going to get to Satan. Satan waits for opportunities. How many of you guys know this? Now, I know that there's people that say, well, there's no devil. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but there is. We're not here to glorify Satan. We're here to learn about him. Know thy enemy. Matthew 4, 2, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Satan will often wait for us to be weakened before he strikes. Satan saw the testing of Christ and waited until Jesus went hungry for 40 days before he tempted him. Are you having a bad day at work? Satan will wait until you're having a bad day. And then everything will start to go wrong. Satan will wait until you're really tired. Satan will wait until you're really hungry. Satan will wait until you're really sick. Satan will wait until you're really broke. Man, you thought it was Satan in the beginning, but he's been waiting all the time. He's been waiting until you got to the point where you're about to break so he could push you off the ledge. Never get too tired. Never get too angry. Never get too hungry. Because Satan is waiting to pounce on you. He did not tempt Jesus at the beginning of the test. He waited until Jesus was hungry. He's waiting for each and every one of us to get to the bending breaking point, the point where you're bent so far you're about to break. Then he wants to hit you with the knockout punch. That's when he wants to get you. And he's not playing with you. It's not a game with him. The Bible mentions angels in 33 of its books and tells us that Satan was the greatest of them all. I know how awesome God is to me, but I don't know how awesome God really is. And Satan was in charge of all the other angels. This must have been one awesome creation from God before he fell. The Bible describes him as the most beautifulest, most powerfulest angel or being ever created by God. And as we read the Bible as a whole and we come across Satan, we come to the conclusion that Satan was almost second in command of all of heaven. The angels had to come to him to answer. He was in charge of God's angels. And we can't even count the angels. This is not the person you want as your enemy, but he is. Satan was so crafty that when he fell, he convinced a third of the angels in heaven to follow him. Angels that were called holy, angels that were in the presence of God, angels that stood at the throne. And he got these angels. He talked them into joining his schemes. We know these angels today as demons. And they have it out for all of us. When you have a problem with another human being, you're having a problem with the demon that somehow, some way manipulated circumstances, manipulated that person into turning you against another human being. The Bible says we don't fight flesh and blood, but principalities. It means we're fighting demons. Understand that you should pray for your enemies. Demons follow the rule of Satan as he pits them against God and mankind. Although they are subject to God's authority, he has allowed them certain liberties until the appointed time. So it's sort of like you've been arrested, and you've been judged, and you've been sentenced. But you're out on bail until the final judgment comes, or you're out on parole or probation or however you want to hear it. Point is, Satan and the demons are out. They're active. They're working. Anybody that tells you that Satan isn't working, that Jesus did away with him on the cross, you're wrong. He pronounced judgment on the cross. He did not carry out the sentencing. Satan is still loose. God sometimes allows Satan to test the righteous. Now, let me explain something to you. God has no need to test the unsaved. God has no need for that. They're not his children. He's not refining their character. So the point is, Satan's after us. And he's pitted his demons against us. Job chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says, "The Lord said to Satan," the Lord, this is God speaking, "from where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." We'll stop right there. Satan gets around. You see what he just said? Man, I'm walking all around the world. This is his domain. This is where he resides. He's got access to your lives. And the Lord said to him, "Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. God is asking Satan, "Take a look at my servant." This is a scary verse. This is real Bible reading here. This is the real God that we serve that talks to Satan about us. God is always in control over Satan, even when we are being tested. Understand that it was God that initiated the test. Satan couldn't do nothing until God gave him permission. Job 1:12, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." In other words, God said, "You can do anything you want, but you can't kill him." Now, he inflicted Job with sores, took away his livestock, had a storm come through and kill his family. Man, I can't even describe what that would feel like. And this is something that God put together. See, when we read the Bible, we start to learn something about God. And sometimes when we read things like this, we don't want to learn those things. Because we start to realize that we serve a God who has us completely under his authority. The Bible warns us to be on our guard concerning Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Now, the reason why he's a roaring lion is because he's constantly telling you something. That something is deception. He's lying to you. He's trying to trick you into something. The devil always says, now, do it now. You got to. Oh, if you don't. And he threatens you. If you don't do this, this will happen. But he's always looking for someone to devour. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, Satan is looking to get somebody. And the first volunteer that stands out through disobedience of God, he will grab you. It's bad enough that God lets him test the righteous. But could you imagine being out of sync with God and he sicks the devil on you then? Only God can rebuke Satan. I said only God can rebuke Satan. That's why Satan couldn't stand up to Jesus. In Jude 1:9 it says, "But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce blasphemous judgment, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" In other words, if you try to tell the devil to go away on your own authority, you're being blasphemous. You are not God. get you behind me in the name of Jesus. Because in the authority of Jesus, you can rebuke him. But if God put him there to test you, we're talking about testing, we're not talking about attacks. He ain't leaving until God's done with you. Because there's a purpose for him to be there. Now, I've been attacked by Satan personally, and I've been tested by Satan. Names of Satan, my last point. I couldn't name them all. There's about 40 of them. We're going to go through some. People give names to things in order to describe them. The Bible has names for Satan to describe him. And when God puts a name to something, he's serious about it. He changed Peter's name to Stone or Little Stone because he knew that Peter was going to have faith one day. But he also knew that the little stone represented a smaller equal to Jesus. But he gave him a name nonetheless that described him. The accuser of brethren, Revelation 12:10. One who brings condemning accusations against others. Satan also attempts to malign the character of God and his plan. So basically what he does is he accuses God to you and he accuses you to God. He'll come to you and say, oh, this isn't what God planned for your life. Your life's a mess and God doesn't want this for you. This is too hard. He tries to distort everything that God is doing in your life. When something goes wrong, the devil's there distorting the plan of God. Well, this isn't what God wanted. God loves you. God is all about love. Why are you suffering then? It's true. He tries to mess with all of that and he tries to condemn all of that. The adversary, 1 Peter 5:8, an opponent in a lawsuit. That's what this word actually means in the Bible for the Greek. Satan is the archenemy. Now, why did they use the word for a lawsuit? The Greeks had different words for different things. Because, listen, you're going to stand in front of the judgment seat of God, and Satan is acting like the prosecuting attorney, pointing out every single sin that you've ever done. Now, once you're forgiven, your sins are washed clean, but Satan likes to come to you and remind you of all the bad things you did and how you're so unworthy to be in ministry, to be in church, to be reading the Bible, to be hanging around Christians. Boy, he'll tell you every single flaw you ever had in your entire life, every sin you've ever done. Because he can't get God to believe it. He'll try to get you to believe it. Angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. One of his purposes is to make men. Now listen to this. This is important. One of Satan's purposes is to make men as much like God as he can, but always without God. The testing of the fruit, the tempting of the fruit was, if you eat of the fruit, you'll be like God. But you won't need him. Now, that wasn't added in the Bible, but that was the thought process. In other words, he wants you to be as much like God as possible without God in the picture. He wants you to be the ruler of your life. When you become the ruler of your life, selfishness moves in. Pride moves in. Greed moves in. None of that is of God. He will copy as much of God and his plan as he can, but he will always either distort, pervert, substitute, or leave out those key ingredients of truth that are vital to the plan of salvation and sanctification through Christ. The devil wants to offer you the things that are fun. Angel of light, it sounds like a good idea until you step into the problem that he's got for you. Doesn't it always look good just before you get into trouble? It looks like a lot of fun until the consequences come, right? Apollyon, Revelation 9:11, a destroyer. How many of you guys know that Satan wants to take everything you got and crush it, destroy it? He's not satisfied with your life. He wants to take your kids. He wants to take your house. He wants to take your money. He wants to take your job. He wants to take your friends. He wants to take your church. He wants to take your Bibles. He wants to take every single aspect of you. manipulate it, distort it, pervert it, destroy it. And he will use you to hurt other people, and he will also use other people to hurt you. There is nothing off limits that he does not want to do to you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to make you sick. He wants to make you fatigued. He wants to make you go broke. He wants to make you suffer. And he wants to blame God for all of it. He wants to blame God for all of it. Father of all lies, John 8:44, a falsifier using his network of deception through demonic forces and duped people, he promotes false doctrines in the name of God. Do you know how many churches out there preach false doctrine? That's Satan distorting the truth. What's the truth? The truth is you can do no good to earn yourself into heaven. Listen, these lies that Satan is telling all of us, he's using demons and he's using other people to manipulate mankind away from God. Everybody knows in their heart that this isn't the way the world should work. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. It's distorted. This is not the way God wanted it. God does not want sickness. He does not want death. He does not want sorrow. But he does want free will. And Satan gives us a choice between God and not God. Satan gives you that choice. And so he's going to lie about that choice. He's going to tell you he's the better one. The title Satan occurs 53 times in 47 verses in the Bible. The primary idea is adversary, one who withstands. You can find Satan in Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Matthew 4, 10. Adversary, one who withstands. The wicked one, Matthew 13, 19. Satan is the embodiment of all the evil in the world. It all started with him. The demon started with him. All the evil in the world. Did you know that in the beginning, God created everything and he pronounced it good? So anybody that tells you that Satan fell before then is a liar or misinformed. God pronounced creation good. And what he calls good, he means pure. He means holy. He means perfect. So we know that Satan fell sometime after creation because he showed up in the garden. The tempter, Matthew 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 3:5, Satan entices people to sin. Wow. Wouldn't it be great to have that one thing that you don't got, no matter what it takes to get it? He always wants you to have something you're not supposed to have or to get something in a way you're not supposed to get it. If you have to lie, then lie. If you have to cheat, then cheat. You only live once. You only live once. Whatever the temptation is, let me promise you one thing. And we're almost done here. Satan is watching you and you and me and you and you and all of us. And he is studying you from the day you were born. And he is watching everything that you do and every word that comes out of your mouth. And he is figuring out what you like that doesn't line up with the word of God. And he will bring it to you. Because he knows what makes you tick. And whatever it is, he will bring to your life. He's not going to bring stuff you don't like. Why would he do that? He's going to bring you the stuff that you do like that's bad for you. Conclusion. We are no match for Satan on our own. However, through Christ, we have the ability to withstand the temptations Satan throws at us. When we say yes to Jesus, we are saying no to Satan.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awardfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.